Trumpet great Louis Armstrong spent most of his life living out of suitcases and crashing in hotel rooms. But 60 years ago, he finally bought a home with his fourth wife, Lucille, a simple brick-faced building in Corona, Queens, that today reopens its doors as a museum. Here's a drop-in visit with Jesse Graham.
Armstrong loved this house. He bragged about his mirrored bathroom, wall-to-wall bed, and his magic garage door. He played trumpet with the neighborhood kids on the stoop. In his study, he sat at his curved mahogany desk, poured a drink, and made history with his tape recorder.
This is Lewis's den. In many ways, this is the most significant room in the entire house.
Michael Cogswell is the director of the Louis Armstrong House.
These are Lewis's LP records, his tapes, his tape decks, his turntable, his bar glasses, his liquor. Everything in here belonged to Lewis.
Armstrong's home recordings floated from hidden speakers in the study, the living room, and the dining room. He taped everything, home performances, Sunday night dinners, conversations with friends, and ribald humor.
Mary had a little bear, and the bear was mighty fine, and everywhere Mary went, you see a bear behind, you see.
I do think that he was an archivist himself.
Robert O'Mealy is professor of English and Comparative Literature and director of the Jazz Studies program at Columbia University. He says Armstrong consciously recorded his life because he wanted the world to know he was more than a caricature of a black man.
And that he was putting on record, for anyone who doubted it, that he was a thoughtful man. He was capable of a whole range of emotions. And you had a sense of what was going on behind the public personality of the man.
He also recorded deeply personal moments, like a marital spat after the funeral of his dear friend.
And listening to it, you get a kind of voyeuristic feeling, like you're peeking through your neighbor's window or something like that. It's sort of almost embarrassing. But I think it's an important document, you know. It shows that he was human. Him and Lucille both were human beings like the rest of us.
Matt Sohn is a sound engineer who's listened to 1,000 hours of Armstrong's tapes at the Queens College Archives.
I wish you could see this next recording that I'm getting ready to put on. It's all red. It's made out of some kind of material. Yeah, it looked like plastic or something. It says Semper Fidelis by the Boston Symphony Orchestra.
Only a small sampling of the 650 tapes can be heard at the house in Queens where Satchmo died in 1971.
This is not a snob. This is not a man full of affectation. This is a natural, real, true human being, proud to be of the human race. He could have had a mansion next to Jackie Robinson in Connecticut, where Mrs. Armstrong wished to move. But no, he loved his home.
Phoebe Jacobs worked for the family and is now vice president of the Louis Armstrong Educational Foundation. She hopes that through this modest house and the sound inside, kids playing on 107th Street will get to know the man she called Pops.
How you doing, fellas? I wish the ice cream truck were here. I'd buy you ice cream. Because that's what Mr. Armstrong would do if he were here. That's what he used to do with the kids. He'd always buy them ice cream. That was Pops.
Tours at the Louis Armstrong House begin tomorrow. The museum is expecting over 20,000 visitors a year. In New York, I'm Jesse Graham for Day to Day.
Day to Day is a production of NPR News and Slate.com. In Los Angeles, I'm Alex Chadwick.